Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear sisters, dear faithful, one of the principal mysteries of human life on this earth is that of suffering. Suffering comes to us all in various forms and intensities. Physical sufferings can range between a slight headache and the severest pains stemming from a prolonged illness. Moral sufferings can range between the vexation of being teased mildly and that of being persecuted unjustly, between being deceived in a relatively small matter and being deceived in something more important, with very adverse results. Between losing a relatively small possession to losing our dearest loved ones to death. The list of possibilities is endless. But regardless of its particulars, all human suffering has a certain universality. It comes to the young and to the old, to the rich and to the poor, to the wicked and to the good. Some suffer at intervals during life. Others suffer throughout their entire lives. Some suffer mostly from bodily pain. Others suffer most in their minds or in their emotions. Some suffer from their own wrongdoing. Others suffer from the wrongdoing of others. Suffering reaches every single human being on this earth in one way or another. Some people merely seem to make their way through life with no suffering at all. But that is according to the appearances, not according to the reality. And yet, even if it were possible for a human being to pass through life with no suffering at all, nevertheless, the fact remains that each and every human life begins and ends with pain and with suffering. Each and every human being comes into this world with pain on his lips. Each and every human being leaves this world by the painful separation of body and soul. The reason for all of the various forms of human suffering is quite simple. Suffering and death have entered the world of man on account of original sin. God created man in the state of original justice, but man himself fell from that state. And ever since that fall, every single human being has inherited the curse of original sin. And suffering is one of the principal curses of that original sin. St. Peter reminds us in this morning's epistle that there is another side to human suffering. That other side to suffering is none other than its redemptive value, which is something very positive indeed. And that redemptive value of suffering applies not only to the suffering accomplished by our blessed Lord upon the cross in the superabundant manner. It applies also to our very own suffering here and now. And that is something that we often forget. Through that suffering, rightly borne, we can gain an even greater share of the merits that our blessed Lord won for us upon the cross. For if we accept and offer up our sufferings in union with our blessed Lord for the atonement of our own sins and for the sins of others, we thereby gain tremendous advantages. We not only expiate the temporal punishment due to our own sins, we not only expiate the temporal punishment due to the sins of others. In so doing, we become more Christ-like. Thereby we flood our own souls with the same virtues that our blessed Lord himself practiced during his passion. Fortitude, patience, and resignation. Those are very important virtues which lead to heaven. And suffering gives us the opportunity to practice them and to develop them in our souls, which is the will of God. And so let us not put to waste the many opportunities we have to offer up to God both the small as well as the great sufferings in this life. Let us avoid resisting them and complaining about them. Of course, we have the duty to preserve our lives. If we become seriously ill, we have a duty before God to try to overcome our illness, to preserve our life, which is a creation of God. And we should take all ordinary means to do so. But there are so many small illnesses, so many small inconveniences that come our way. And whereas we could offer these trifling things up to Almighty God in a Christ-like manner, often we do not. When we get the slightest of headaches, we run immediately to the bottle of aspirin. When we feel the slightest bit cold, we run immediately to the thermostat. When we feel the slightest bit of heat, we run immediately to the air conditioner. And yet, how much merit, how much grace, how much expiation we could accomplish and achieve if we would but offer up the ordinary inconveniences and sufferings of human life. Not necessarily every single time, but with some measure of frequency. And yet we do not. And there is even more to this Christ-like view of human suffering than all of this. In addition, there is also the need for compassion towards others who are suffering. This very compassion for others was one of the principal hallmarks of our blessed Lord's public life. All throughout the gospel, we constantly see him seeking out those who were suffering, either physically or morally. He sought them out, and he alleviated the pain and the suffering. He offered them hope and encouragement. And of course, our blessed Lord did many other things than those that were written in the gospel. You can imagine that he acted with compassion very many more times than are recorded in sacred scripture. And so let us never underestimate the importance of the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy in regard to those who are suffering. Let us always take time to visit and to comfort by our presence and our encouragement those who are suffering, those who are sick, and especially those who are dying. This compassion is very much a part of our holy faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.